Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Now, this is what the Lord is saying, that there is a river of healing here to heal broken hearts, to heal despondent heart, discouraged heart. There is a spirit of joy to lift everybody up and to make you see the brightness of your future and to forget the gloom of what happened to you in the past, the gloom that came as a result of that disappointment. Now a veil of gloom is being lifted up of so many people, of discouragement, of low feeling, feeling like, now I'm seeing this as if everything seems to be the same, there's nothing exciting happening in my life. Now this is what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you, that gloom ends now, and now you move from one exciting news to the next, because the Spirit of the Lord comes and lifts you up and makes you see bright things ahead of you. And as you see them, so shall they be unveiled in your life in the name of Jesus. Now the river of joy is flowing in your heart in the name of Jesus to transform you. Now you see bright things today, and now you say that for sure the rest of this year is going to be a wonderful time to be celebrated in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the beautiful words that change our lives. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, because we are of those that build on a strong foundation, who hear the word and do it. We are not of those who build on sand, who merely hear the word and do not do it. Now we thank you, Heavenly Father, because our commission is set before us and we shall finish our race with joy. We bless you, Father, in the name of Jesus, because we are strengthened and we are empowered by your Spirit to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Now, seeing so many people whose hearts were low, who were troubled, some of them because of love, some of them because of financial issues, some of them because they just want a little excitement in their life, which is not happening. Some of them because of so many other things. But especially, by the way, I was seeing love and financial things. Now, something has just changed.
Amen.
By the word of the Lord.
Amen.
By the word of the Lord.
Amen.
So now live here excited, happy,
Amen.
And prepared for great things in your life. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You too. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now Jeremiah 6:8 says, "Be instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from you, lest I make you desolate, a land not inhabited." Be instructed, O Jerusalem. Now, the command of the Lord, the book of Jeremiah, the entirety of it, in its entirety, is about a message from God to a backsliding nation that was progressive all the way until the end, and about a warning to them. And his case against them starts from when he lays two charges against them in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. And he says, 13, it says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Now, this is the beginning of Jeremiah's ministry, and this is the charge that God puts against them, that they have abandoned him, the fountain of living waters, and have made for themselves cisterns that cannot hold water. And by the way, even if cisterns hold water, it's not good water after some time if it is stagnated, and it can never be a fountain. Praise the Lord. Now, this I've talked about before, of living waters, waters which fountain, something which is fresh, which is permanently fresh, because a fountain has flowing waters. Now, water is, of course, revelation. It can mean the Spirit, but also the revelation of God, which is constant, present truth. We've spoken about that before. Not past truth, not truth for yesterday, truth for today. Living waters. A fountain, the water that is flowing today can never be the one that's flowing tomorrow. I'm talking about the original fountains, not these ones which are at hotels, because that one recycle, those ones recycle water. But the ones which are, you know, natural ones, where waters are flowing. Once water flows, that's the last you'll see of it. The next is fresh water. Now, those are fountains. Now, cisterns, of course, refers to people getting something and receiving it and holding on to it, and water is flowing, but for them they got a cistern, and they are holding on to that, some revelation which is supposed to have improved their life some years ago, but no longer does, because there's new revelation passing all the time. And then he also says they don't even hold the water, because it eventually leaks out. It's like they are trying to gather it together in, you know. I've realized that the anatomy of stagnation in every area of life is the absence of a teachable spirit. Like, once your spirit ceases to be teachable and you get to a place where you're so good at something, you can no longer receive instruction in that area, that is the beginning of the end of you as a relevant person. And now the thing is, because of the speed at which God is moving, your irrelevance will be manifest in a period of a few months. The minute you stop being instructed. Now it says, "Be instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from you." Now I'm telling you, even you look at, let's say, men of God who were at some stage very, you know, renowned and did powerful things. Then they become, along the way they became experts, and they can no longer be instructed. Now they become experts at doctrine. Now that's the one thing which I find interesting, because all of them formulated doctrine, and then they hung around the doctrine, and then it's a point of debate, and it does not take them anywhere. And you see, now doctrine is just one of the things for which the word of God is given. One out of many. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, what does it say? 2 Timothy 3:16. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine." Number one. Yeah. If you stop there, cistern. But it's also profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All those have to be included. Now, I have found that people who are easily instructed and easily do things on instruction, they can never stagnate. Now, there's a friend of mine who was telling me, he was excited because he's beginning to, you know, exercise is prophetic and it's working very well and so on. So he met somebody and he told her, he told her things which I wouldn't tell her even if I'd seen. But so he told the lady, "I'm seeing your husband is here and what, and he's doing this and that and ABC and D." Now, there's no way I can say something like that, because it's not profitable. You see, the word of God has to be profit. So what profit is that to the person? Even if I actually saw it, I cannot say it. But okay. He's learning, and you know the excitement of when somebody is learning how to pick things in the spirit. So you just say, and isn't it? So now she listened to everything. What is he doing? Now he's doing what? Then what else? Yeah. Is there another one? Yeah, there's also another one.
And another one, yes, this is another one. So now, after telling all of that, then he told her, now, don't confront him. This is how you should handle it. And all that stuff will end, and it will end well for you. But you see, I don't know, like, ladies, an instruction. Now she just went and confronted him and messed up the situation completely. Now that's why, if somebody is telling you something, which now listen, if he has, the Lord has shown him all that. Now listen to the instruction. God does not give knowledge for. Now that's why you look at somebody, the person says, now what should I do, what? Then you look, gauge and say, I don't know, go and pray about it. Because you look and say, this person is not going to receive instruction. They will go and do what they are not supposed to do. And then they will blame you for the outcome, which is exactly what happened in this case. Now, why did you tell me? Now, even confront him. Now the next thing that you've made a bad situation, grow from worse to worse. Now, zero instruction. Okay, now some of you are saying, yeah, mommy, I want to know. But you see, there is a thing with God does not give information to satisfy curiosity. That is your rubbish. You understand? Are you telling me? No, he's not supposed to be there. To your curiosity, huh? And then what happened? What if it is not for profit? If there is no profit attached to it, he will not take. Okay, but now this person, so it is. But you know, he has to, it's part of the learning process. So you know, okay, now next time, just because I see something doesn't mean I'm going to speak it out, because is it profitable? Is it going to add value? Anyhow, for now, people stop at the doctrine, not the reproof, because that's where the hard thing comes in. It's not easy to be, corrected or given instruction. And yet, actually, it's the only way you are going to move from point A to point B. Every promotion comes with pruning. John 15, verse 1. You did not choose me, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now, there is no way pruning is a good process. It can't be, because every level has to be, you have to give up something for a new level. Now, if you want comfort, then you stay where you are. But if you want a new level, you have to give up a certain comfort. You have to give up certain things. You have to be instructed in a new way. And you have to receive instruction. Now, Jeremiah 6:8, first he tells them, you've done two things. You've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Then you've hewn for yourself cisterns that cannot hold water. So everything you have is old and is not even, you can't even keep a hold on it. Even if you did, it would eventually be a breeding place for mosquitoes. Okay? Because it is stagnant. Now, then he goes on to say, but be instructed, lest my soul depart from you. Lest I make you desolate, a land not inhabited. Then now later, of course that didn't happen. You know the story of Jeremiah. 40 years warning Israel about an impending attack on them. 40 years, every day warning them. Now Jeremiah 32:33 says, this is the progression of it. And they have turned to me the back and not the face. Though I taught them, rising up early, and teaching them, yet they have not listened to receive instruction. So we are telling them every day, do this, do this. They are not receiving instruction. Now, by the way, this is true for so many people whom I've met, and especially ladies. Now, there are some, there are a few who say, just move on. Do it. Do it even if you're afraid. And they will go and do it when they're afraid, and they come and say it worked. Because you see, there is nothing that is done when you're not afraid. There is no new ground which you are going to step in and you are comfortable. There is all of us, there is a fear of what if it doesn't work? What if I heard wrong? What if this does not work? But there is an instruction. So you say, you know what? Rather than, you see, I learned one day and I even posted somewhere. I said, I would rather regret what I did than regretting what I didn't do. So I will go and try. If it flops, okay, I've learned it was wrong. Now try again. Now, otherwise, stagnation, and there is no instruction. You cannot receive any instruction because you're scared. Okay, for the most part, some people are just stubborn. They don't want to receive. But some people, especially ladies, they are scared. And then I had some ladies saying, why don't you do it scared? And I said, that's very good advice. Because we do things scared. Like a lot of things, you do them when you're scared. But you do it. And then I was telling somebody when just yesterday actually, because he was asking me how does this happen and so on. I told him, you know, I learned certain things. Now, I learned the thing of following in footsteps. Eh? So I look at somebody's life and I know that, okay, there are always patterns in all of this. Now, I remember one time Prophet telling me how God told him to go and organize a conference of university students in Kabari. And he did not have a single thing, nothing. He didn't have even transport money to take him there. But somehow, slept, then he woke up, then God told him, go and, not actually God told him, he just felt, go and talk to that person, then that person gave him, you know, the system, then somehow he got transport to go to what, then, you know, one thing, then he reached Kabari and they were announcing the conference, and he didn't even know who had paid the radios to announce. He had no idea where it came from. They were just announcing. So anyhow, without any single control over it, somehow it happened. Then he said that was the time when he learned that now anything, once God tells you, that is it. So now when I heard that, I looked for the parallel in my own life. Okay? Now some of you are going to have to follow the parallel in my life. Now, I looked for the parallel in my own life. Then I realized that when 2015, July, the Watchman Conference, same thing. I told somebody that we needed 45 million on a Tuesday when the thing was starting. Okay, collectively, that's how much. But about 30 million at the end of it. On the Tuesday, when it was starting Wednesday, I didn't even have 2 million. Nothing. What I had was a dream and an instruction. And my friend told me that we'd even be sitting there having coffee and we are talking other things. Then they are speaking about other things. Then I just say, but God told me. And now my mind was on one thing for almost a whole month. It drained me completely. Because that, of course you've heard this thing so many times, but you don't understand how, the battle of faith, where the only thing you have is a word from God. Nothing else. There is nothing showing that it is going to work. Nothing. Everything seems to be pointing the opposite direction. Every single thing is pointing the opposite direction. But you have a word from God, and if God does not be, then you're done in. So you've announced, you've done this and what? Then you go to Serena and they're telling you, huh? You have to fast at least pay for one day before we open for you tomorrow. So on Wednesday, yeah, we are excited, what? So finally we get the money we needed to pay for one day. So went and paid for one day. Then they opened the gates. Now, when they paid the first day, I knew now this is Chiwede. Because I knew even that money had come by miracle. So if it had, then the rest also had to come by what? Miracle. Because God cannot stop halfway. Eh? Now, that's when I learned that once you see the first sign of a miracle, go and eat and drink. God, like he cannot, if you are going to university and you have no money, and you get money for the first semester, Chiwede, God cannot give you one semester when he knows you need 8 semesters to graduate. Like, what kind of God would that be? So once he has given you the first, you know, it's end. Now, after that, just get into thanksgiving. Because he gave it to me knowing there is also second, then there is next year, then there is the after. So that is the end of it. So now once I saw the first day, it was finished. But the third day was the worst because, now that one, somehow the money wasn't there. But you know now, haven't you ever wondered? For 1.5 months, I'd been announcing God. But if God was going to give the money, why didn't he just give it from the start and save us from all this trouble? You understand? Eh? But then, it would not have been as powerful as it was. He will always wait for the last minute so that you harden, eh? You karuba. Eh? Now, after that, when the thing was finished, by the way, you cannot know how it is, how good it feels, eh? When you fought the battle, you will never know until you do it. I'm telling you. After the conference was finished, and the third day I finished preaching, then I went home. Very tired. And I'm not talking about physical tired. You know, when you're believing, like there is the emotional, there is the mental, there is what? All sorts of fatigue converging in one, including the physical. I was extremely tired, drained. of every energy I had, but also very satisfied and very triumphant, knowing I believed God. Now I know I can believe God. You know, eh? I believed God and it happened. Now, so I also saw my path. Now, after that, everything, you know. But I know there have been times even here when, you know, yeah, they come and tell us now. But you see, some of people don't know because you don't care. Eh? But there have been times in here when they are, things are tight here and they are telling us we are not going to. But, you know, I discovered so many people, very few people actually want to live by faith. Very few people want to be instructed. Very few. They want their comfort and the next level to find them at the place of their comfort. Now, be instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from you. Because for every instruction, there are people who are depending on you doing it. And who God is going to find somebody else to do that if you refuse to, because you want your comfort. So be instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from you. But you see, when people have made up like this, the people of Judah in the days of Jeremiah, when they have determined that they are not going to hear the word of God, nothing can change them, not even circumstances. And that's what I find amazing. Like, not even circumstances. Let me show you from Jeremiah 42. Now, you see, you can read these stories, and they are interesting stories, or you can read them and actually see your life and say, but where do I actually behave like this? Am I like this? Okay, 42 verse 1. Now, all the captains of the forces, Johanan the son of Kareah, Jezaniah the son of whoever, and all the people, from the least to the greatest, came near and said to Jeremiah the prophet, please let our petition be acceptable to you, and pray for us to the Lord your God, for all this remnant, since we are left but a few of many, as you can see, that the Lord your God may show us the way in which we should walk and the thing we should do. Now, okay, I want you to know, when they come to Jeremiah, the destruction of Jerusalem that he had spoken of had already happened. Now, at this time, the first lot that were captured by Nebuchadnezzar had already been taken. Jerusalem had already fallen. So these people come and say, okay, you've been telling us these things for 40 years. Now we know you're a true prophet because it has happened. Now, please, what about us who have been left? Because, you know, he came and took away the top people and left some. Just, you know, a few people. So they come to the prophet and say, now, please tell us, how do we go about this? They have already seen the first of the fulfillments of his prophecies. That the Lord your God may show us the way in which we should walk and the thing we should do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to them, I have heard. That's almost like a Nigerian. You know, Nigerians are the one, my brother, you have spoken well. I have heard you. Okay, so Jeremiah says, I have heard. Indeed, I will pray to the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall be that whatever the Lord answers you, I will declare it to you. I will keep nothing back from you. So they say to Jeremiah, let the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us. If we do not do according to everything which the Lord your God sends us by you, whether it is pleasing or displeasing, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. Praise the Lord. And it happened after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Then he called Johanan the son of Kareah and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest, and say to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition before him, if you will still remain in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down. I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I relent concerning the disaster I have brought upon you. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Do not be afraid of him, says the Lord. For I am with you to save you and deliver you from his hand. And I will show you mercy, that he may have mercy on you and cause you to return to your own land. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, disobeying the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, 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 but we will go to the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor be hungry for bread, and there we will dwell, then hear now the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your faces to enter Egypt and go dwell there, then it shall be that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. The famine of which you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt. And there you will die. You shall die. So it will be with all the men. So it will be with all the men who set their faces to go to Egypt, to dwell there. They shall die by the sword, by famine, by pestilence. And none of them shall remain or escape from the disaster that I will bring upon them. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as my anger and my fury have been poured out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so will my fury be poured out on you when you enter Egypt. And you shall be an oath, an astonishment, a curse, a reproach, and you shall see this place no more. The Lord has said concerning you, O remnant of Judah, do not go to Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. For you were hypocrites in your heart when you sent me to the Lord your God, saying, pray for us to the Lord, and according to all that the Lord says, we'll do. So declare to us, and we'll do it. And I have this day declared to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, nor anything which you have said to you. Now, I want you to see how... Now, therefore, know certainly that you shall die by the sword, by famine and pestilence, in the place where you should desire to go to dwell. Now, it happened when Jeremiah had stopped speaking. Now, how much more emphatic can a word be? Now, when Jeremiah had stopped speaking to all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, all these words, that Azariah the son of Josiah, Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men spoke, saying to Jeremiah, you speak falsely. The Lord our God has not sent you to say, do not go to Egypt, to dwell there. But Baruch the son of Neriah has sent you against us to deliver us into the hands of the Chaldeans, that they may put us to death or carry us away captive to Babylon. So Johanan the son of Kareah and all the captains of the forces and all the people would not obey the voice of God to remain in the land. Okay, you can stop there. They went to Egypt and they died. Now, like, do you see how people think? When somebody is determined not to receive instruction, even now, how much more? Jeremiah told them, don't go. Don't go. Now, they have already seen his. They said, if you go, you'll die. If you stay here, I will... They say, we know who sent you. The other guy sent you to mess us up so that we stay here and they kill us. So they went and they died. Okay? You read ahead, whatever, at home. So they all went and they died. And that's how men behave. And that's the truth. Now, if somebody is not ready to receive... Now, we ran through this. If you're not ready to receive instruction, Unless, like, you find me when I'm not discerning. But I will not waste my instruction on somebody whom I can discern is not ready to receive it. Why should I? Because every next level comes with an instruction. And something which, a word. Because you imagine you listen to words of God every day. But until a word influences your actions, you have become like those people, you know, of Athens, for whom it is just knowledge. Knowledge. So now you have another scripture. And there is knowledge, and the knowledge does not influence your actions. Now, when any knowledge that does not influence your actions, like you're building on sand, that's what Jesus said. Because I know so many such people who say, man, the word was powerful. But there is not a single sense of discipline that they can turn that word into a lifestyle. And like have that lifestyle inculcated in themselves, and now it becomes their lifestyle. Now, then they have a cistern which cannot hold what? Water. Because the water is supposed to come and change you somehow. So someone said, you know, yeah, watch and pray, watch and pray, watch and pray. Then yes. Now, did it affect your week from last week? I don't know. But I can tell you for sure, there are so many whom I know it didn't. But they have come for another word, but not an instruction. You understand? Now, let me tell you, Hebrews 12, okay, first start from verse like 8. But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Go ahead. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they, for a few days, chastened us as seemed best to them. That's the natural fathers, the human fathers. But he, for our profit, The chastisement is for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now he goes on to say, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Now, there is nothing which you want to add on to your life, which is nice when you're trying to make it work. I remember when I was trying to, you know, I used to be, but when I was trying to learn how to keep quiet and not to use my tongue every time, you know, because I would say things which sounded sharp and wise, but they were stupid for a man of God. Now, you know, sarcastic and all those things. So when I wanted, now somebody would tell me something fake, and I always like had something like to put them in their place, you understand? And I was good at that. But then I realized I couldn't continue living like that if I wanted to be a man of God. So now I had to learn how to, somebody tells you something mean and you keep quiet. Now, when I decided I was going to keep quiet, then the chastening started. So somebody tells you something and the words are near you, like about to, but you have to swallow them. Then you swallow them, then you swallow them. I mean, it's not easy. By the way, it is totally not easy, because this is you, like you, you know, eh? Like you want to just, you know, unleash. And when I unleashed, very few people could handle. But I had to shut up. So I keep quiet, keep quiet. Now, sometimes it would escape. But then, when it did, I would go home and regret. But why did I say that? I could actually have not said it. And I would be a happier person if I had not said it. So then I say, okay, next time I will still, you know. So the process goes on. So then eventually, you realize that in a day, you had like 5 or 6 good opportunities to just put some guys in their place. I was going to use a worse word than guys, but then I would be backsliding. But let's say it escaped once. But do you know what happened? After like 3 or 4 or 5 months, I realized that people would tell me things and I no longer have to fight not to answer back. Now the chastisement was beginning to become a part of me. Now I just can't, I don't answer back. I have to actually think through. And I said, why? I only answer back when I feel, you know. Like I remember sometimes some guy said, you know, I was reading on social media and some guy said that, you know, that's why somebody was saying about these guys who died. Then he said, you know, you people, you should love God and what. You see these people now, you know, the guys who died in the Ethiopian Airlines crash. And then somebody said, you see, that's a, that you're very insensitive. That's why you people alienate us from Christianity and what. Now, everything in me wanted to tell him, who told you we want you in Christianity? Who told you we are supposed to appease you? I mean, am I going to be a better person because you're a Christian? Like, and I would have written that thing in a very stinging way, because that's my special gift. Eh? But I thought about it and said no. So I moved on. But now it is so much easier for me to move on, because it's no longer, I'm no longer struggling with it. Now I actually have to just decide, let me do it, because of a reason. You understand? But you can say all sorts of things and I look at you and but there was a time when I would have to be, then even walk away and what. Now that's the same, let's say if you have, now here is how, if let's say you have a hot, like a short temper and you know it does not glorify God. So you say now, I'm not going to be like that. Now you pray to God to help you, the Holy Spirit. And you know what he does? He will always remind you when you are about to. Now whether or not you obey is up to you. You understand? Now when you are about to get, you will feel, they say, no, you're going there. Then you say, okay. Then you leave. Now if you obey him over and over again, then the next time people know, he's no longer hot-tempered. Now that has become you. That's why he says, no chastisement seems to be joyful when you're going through it, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So I can tell you, I know when to shut up, and it does not even bother me. I shut up. I only speak when I have to speak. And now, by the way, if it wasn't for these other things which God is leading me into, I would not speak at all. I would just shut up, because I have the ability to. But now you see in this other side, you need a certain other anointing. Now, which I have, but now I no longer do it out of weakness. Now I do it out of knowing that should I not, let me forgive them. But if I don't want to forgive them, now like those guys of what? Of whatever. trying to explain how the difference is of the Pope kissing feet and me. Eh? Now, if they had found me those days, eh, first of all, I cannot write and even respond because it will be too sharp for them. They will just abuse me, you're stupid, you're what? Eh? And then you know you've hammered them. Because when somebody can't reason, the next thing they do is they abuse. Eh? Now, anyhow, the peaceable fruit of what? Of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Now, anything which you want to do. Now, I'll give you an example. If you want to be somebody who says, let's say I'm going to pray in tongues for 1 hour every day, you will not feel like it every day. You will not. I can guarantee you that. If you feel like it today and tomorrow, the third day, you will not feel like it. But you see, no chastening is good for the present. So you discipline yourself and say, no, I will do it. Whether I feel like it or not, I will do it. Now, after you've done it, when you don't feel like it, then eventually it starts becoming a part of you, and now the feelings are no longer an issue. I have to pray in tongues. Feelings are not, you know, feelings only come in when they think they can have an impact. Until you tell them, okay, sorry, feelings, I'm going to do it whether you feel like it or not. Eh? So you start. And then I also discovered that the days when you don't feel like it and you do it in spite of not feeling like it, those are the days when your prayer will be the sweetest. Now, if you go past that, and of course, everybody has it all there. I remember the other time I had to, some people had told me things which had messed me up, and I wanted to pray for certain people. And then I reached home, and I totally, completely did not feel like it. But I told somebody, send me a message at night, and what? So I started. It took me like 10 minutes of not feeling like it. Then I connected, and then it was a problem stopping me, because the next day, I had things to do. But I could have gone on and on until daybreak. Actually, I ended at around 5:30. And I could easily have gone even up to 8:30. Yet, I did not feel like it. When I started, are you learning something today? When I started, I didn't feel like it. If somebody had told me you're going to pray for 4 hours, I would say, you're kidding. Let me just do my car shift of 1 hour and go to sleep. The next thing I knew, it was 2, it was 3, it was 4. And I had to look and say, now I really have to find get some sleep because I have things to do tomorrow. Do you understand? Now, when you go past, by that I even discovered that even of physical things. Like I'll tell you, even when I go, like, let's say to jog, the days I don't feel like it is the days I will jog so many kilometers. I don't know why. Once you go past that car feeding, you enter into a certain area where now the problem is how to stop you. Now, no chastening. Be instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from you. Be instructed. Like love the instruction. Every word comes with an instruction. Even now, today there is an instruction. Okay? Now, if you actually got into the habit of saying, now what have we heard today? I am going to get that and inculcate it. Do you think anybody enjoys giving tithe at the fast? No. I remember some time ago I said I'm going to give a tithe and a minimum of another tithe as an offering. So the minimum I ever gave was, okay, that was a bit of, you know, that was way back, was the minimum I ever gave was 20%. So that was, now, the minute you make such a decision, I can guarantee you will see how money will vanish. But it is just for that short time. Then for that time, you put out your tithe, then you're going to give it. Now, before the time comes to give it, that's when you need this, you need that. But that is the chastening. Eh? Now, when you say, no, I will not touch it, come and buy and buy. Then you do it the next week. After that, first of all, it becomes normal. Then secondly, you start seeing the benefits of it. Now, the reason people don't tithe is because they can't go through that period of chastening. The reason people still have habits which they would rather get rid of is because they will not go through that period of chastening. And then they get the peaceable fruit of righteousness that comes after that. It's a blind thing. And I'll even tell you, even works that you set out to do, all of them go through this. Like, I'll give you an example. Somebody was telling me just before I came here, how he met some people, and some lady was talking among, okay, so many people who have a certain thing, and they talking about, but who is that guy, Watchman? And now, do you know why they were talking about me? Because they had read my book, Strength of Character, which is a really good book. Eh? Now, and one of the ladies was saying, the truth is that book changed me. And so I reached out. Now they talked. Now let me tell you how that goes. When you start writing anything, you will feel that this is going to be the most powerful work I have ever done. This is going to transform the world. Man, you can't wait for it. Eh? Somewhere in the middle, you start saying, but am I not? Like the gas all goes. Then you say, maybe I'm wasting my time. Is it even going to be worth the while? What makes me think it's going to be what? And then usually that's where all dreams collapse, in that valley. Now the people who actually press on through that time come out on top, and then they come into something powerful. You understand? Eh? Let me tell you, I was this close to stopping writing that book halfway. This close, because I was feeling, man, you know, I'm here writing. Who is even going to read it? What? Then now the other day, I was seeing people quoting things from the book which I wrote. And I'm like, wow, that's powerful. And then I wrote it. But then there was a period when God wanted me to write it. And I had to press through, because that's when the anointing is flowing. Now, if you told me to write that, I cannot, because that cloud moved. If I had not done it, then I would never have done it. Praise the Lord. I would never have done it. I can tell you that. But when the discouragement comes, there are things which are for a season. Now, if you don't do it, if you don't receive the instruction for that season, the cloud moves. And then you will not be able to do it after that. And then it goes. And then you remain with some regret. If I had done it, what would have happened? Now, why? Because no chastening seems joyful for the present. Okay? But painful. But somebody has decided, it is worth pursuing. So they have decided, through the pain, I'm going to pursue it. Some lady came and told me that she was dreaming, she was having dreams of, she used to fellowship somewhere, and she was having dreams of prophet. So I told her, now you have to start attending Zoe. She told me, but you see, on Tuesday, I have to take my children back home from school. I told her that you just don't think it's, you've not attached value to it. I say, so you think all those people who go there don't have children to take back home? Don't you see children there? I see children here. Because their parents decided it was worth bringing them here before they go to school. You understand? So, but you see, if somebody does not attach value, then they will have a reason. I told her, if your best friend was having a meeting and the wedding meetings were on Tuesday, wouldn't you find a way of attending the meetings in spite of the children? She said, in truth, I would. And I said that the reason you're going to stagnate is because you will not receive instruction. God is showing you in a dream what you should do. But you've come up with a reason why you should not do it. So you want your comfort, but you want the benefit of the instruction. It is not going to happen that way. It never does. It never will. So the word of God is for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, for all those things. Correction. You see. Now you see these pastors who cannot stand up and talk about homosexuals, because they want the word of God to be nice things, eh? Sweet things. But it will never be. There will always be an instruction which is inconveniencing. You always have to suffer inconvenience to do what God is saying. But the result is a peaceable fruit. It's some area you get into, and now you're seeing it was worth the while. Even Jesus, the scripture says in Isaiah 53 that he will look upon the travail of his soul and he will be glad. So when he was going through the horror of the cross, it was not joyful. But when he turns and sees the millions of humans who are going to be saved because of it, it is what? It is a good, like, it says that he will look upon the travail. He shall see the labor out of that terrible travail of soul. He will see that it's worth it and be glad he did it. Through what he experienced, my righteous one, my servant, will make many righteous ones. And as he himself carries the burden of their sins. Now, in the period of horror, Jesus is thinking about the horror of what he's about to go through. But the scripture says, after it is done, and he looks at the fruit of it, then he's glad. He look upon the travail of his soul. Now, that is true for all of us. There is every travail, the satisfaction, like I told you, after I'd fought the battle of faith, the Washman Conference, the satisfaction, I was thoroughly drained. It took me like 3 days of rest to get over it, because it was not physical only. It was physical. It was emotional. It was what? It was all the scenarios the devil painted of how I am going to be embarrassed. and how I should never have accepted that thing and all that. And I fought the good fight of faith and I held on to the word of God. Then you see it produce. Then you look upon the travail and you're glad. And you say, I'm glad I went through it. And I'm glad God delayed the maximum. Because do you know, I've had scenarios like that before, after that, where I need quite an amount of money in a very short time. Now, these days, it is easy. By the way, I'll tell you that I know it, but you cannot put me on bunkenke like I was. I went through that training. Now, they tell me we need this amount of money. I say, hey, okay. And then I will go and have my cappuccino. Because I already went through that bunkenke and I saw that how that works. Now, you cannot be like me unless you've been through that training. So the training has got to be part of it. Now, these things which people say that, you know, you do it scared. I was scared before the conference, but I did it. I was even scared to say the conference is going to be at Serena. Because I said once I announced it on radio, I cannot go back. So I did it scared. Do you understand? Eh? Don't think that there's anything we do when you're confident. Like, okay, maybe, you know, when you're stepping out. Now, if I'm confident coming and, you know, there has to be, when you're going to the next step, you do it scared. Like now, there are things which I'm going to do scared, but I'll do them. And they will come through. But I'll do them what? Scared. Okay, not fearful, you understand? Eh? But saying, okay, I have to commit myself to the arm of God and let him bring it to pass. Then I go ahead and I say, the Lord is my protector. I don't fear anything because God is with me. I have seen this over and over again. Now, those are things which, for them to turn from doctrine to lifestyle, God has to put through somewhat. There are two ways, by the way, that something you know by doctrine can become a lifestyle. Two ways. Number one is through extreme meditation, where you constantly chew on it, and then it becomes a, you know, part of you. Then you shall observe to do these things, meditate on them, so shall you do them. But then he says, make sure they are in front of you every day, all the time, so shall you do them. Okay? Now, the other one is a test, like that. So, you have all this doctrine, faith. Then God says, okay, let's see. Let's see how it works. When you now actually have to turn it away from what? From theory to practice. When your entire reputation is hanging on it. Let's see how you'll handle that. Then you go and you're praying and you say, but the Lord told me, I know God told me, I know it will work. Because God told me, I know it will work. Now, even when people are talking other things, football, in the middle of the football, you say, but God told me. Because like you're daydreaming. Eh? And the only thing you have left is the word of God. Now, an instruction, Proverbs 4:13 says, take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your what? Your life. Take a firm hold of instruction because it has to be disciplined. If you are going to be a prayer warrior, there has to be discipline. It's not going to be comfortable. Like, the thing is, there are so many people. Now, that's what has messed up that Western church. And even the early, because they want, you see somebody, Paul says that, if I yet preach circumcision, then who, nobody would what? Would persecute me. Why does he say that? Because at the time he is ministering, the Jews were like the only people who had God, and everybody knew, yeah, you know, somehow Jews are like special. They are like a special breed of people. And even there were converts who were not born Jews, but they were converted from different, and they became converts of Judaism, and they had to take them through a whole process. But you see, still you remain second class, because you are not born what? A Jew. But you're a convert. One of them was Nicholas in Acts 6:5. A convert, you know, they used to call them a proselyte. That's what they used to call it. Proselyte now means preaching, but somebody who had been converted to Judaism. Now, but somehow you're always second class. So now Paul comes with a message and says, no, now Jews, nothing. It means absolutely nothing. In Christ, we are all the same. Jews, Greeks, barbarians, the same as Jews, Scythians. You've seen, you know that scripture. Eh? Okay, you leave this one. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. Now what he's saying, at the cross, there is no Jew and Gentile. We are all the same. Then these guys are so angry because the person who is saying that is one of them. And not only is he one of them, he's actually a Pharisee who should know better. Let me tell you, Pharisees were usually crowned. To be a member of the Sanhedrin, you had to be about 50 years old. Now, to be a Pharisee, you needed to be somewhere around there. Paul became a Pharisee at 30 because he was very brilliant. So he was the best of them. He mastered the law. 20 years before, he was already a Pharisee at about the age of 30. So God gets the best of them, one whom they should be proud of. Then he comes and says, in Christ, there is no Jew. We are all the same. Now, they said, this guy is fake. How can really? Because they had managed to convince everybody that Jews are superior. You understand? Eh? And all the other people grudgingly had accepted. Then Paul comes. That's why when he preached to the Jews, they said, no. He said, okay. Okay, me, I'm going to the Gentiles. Now, when he went to Gentile cities and preached to them, now the Gentiles, because they had accepted their inferior status, then they hear that there is this gospel which makes them the same. There is no Jew or Gentile. So guess what they do? They believe en masse. Guess what the Jews do? They come to that city and stir up everybody and get Paul and throw him in prison. Why? Because he's an enemy of their status. You know, their earthly status. And he says that all that in Philippians. He says, you know, a Jew born of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee, concerning the law, concerning this, but said all those things I counted them as rubbish for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. Now you see, I says neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free. How can you make slaves the same as slave owners? What kind of gospel is that? Okay, there is neither male nor female. You see now, by the way, now that's what people have to understand, that in Christ there is neither male nor female. But you see now, you have to change that. That concept changes when you are in marriage. Okay? Because now, in Christ, there is no difference between me and a woman. But if that woman becomes my wife, then now I'm the head. You understand? Eh? So the headship only applies in marriage. It does not apply in gender. That male, man is superior to woman. No. Husband or man is head of woman. No. Husband is head of wife. Outside of marriage, the same. Okay, there is neither male nor female, for they are all one in what? Christ. Now, of course, you still don't like to be, you're married and you don't want your husband to be head, then I don't know. I have a scripture for you. I will show it to you one day. I showed it to you one day. Anyhow, so what was I saying? So Paul says it's all rubbish. Now, there is a message which the scripture says a time is coming when they will not be able to tolerate sound doctrine, but they will heap for themselves. I think 2 Timothy chapter 3. A time is coming when they will not be able to. It's in 2 Timothy, I know that. Chapter 3, 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Okay? Go ahead. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned into fables. Did you hear that pastor guy? Eh? Do you know what he said? Do you know what the guy who stood up and said that, quoted a scripture? Eh? The rugby player. And the pastor wrote and said that that he missed the core message of Jesus, which is love. Then he said that, oh, Galatians, who bewitched you? Who bewitched him? The man is quoting a scripture as it is. He's not even adding commentary. And a pastor is a pastor. But you see, because they fear persecution. But you see, in the times past, people gave up their lives for this message. And you can't give up your popularity. Jesus said a servant is not greater than his master. If they called him false, they will call you false. I mean, you can't stand against homosexuals. People have been buried alive in Soviet Union. Deny Jesus or we chop off your head. There was a family of, they are pouring soil, the whole family, man, woman, and children. And the soil is coming up. They said, denounce Jesus. And the man was about to, and the children saw a vision. And they said, Daddy, don't. In a short time, we'll be in paradise. Now you see, sometimes, in those matter situations, God spares you the pain. Before the soil gets to you, your spirit has already gone. Like even those people who were killed by lions and what, the spirit Now, I was hearing somebody, actually some man who God was showing it. Even those people were burnt. They never felt any pain. When they are going to throw you, your spirit departs. So they just bandage. And you don't feel any pain. Because God spares you that. You see, eh? But, and all those people were, all of them, even by the time the lion comes and starts tearing you, your spirit has gone. And you're actually seeing it all happening there. And, you know, from some balcony somewhere, saying, hey, Bambi. That guy was torn to pieces. And that guy was you. Anyhow, but you see now, can you imagine, like, really, like, now people were being buried alive, but now even some carry, you know, will not give you, like, you know, criticism. Now people are so scared of criticism. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned into fables. Now, what does that mean? That means turning the word of God, fables, into, you know, hey, you don't pay the price, you don't eat the rice. Now that's fables, really. Or your network determines your net worth. Mbongera kadara. But now, and you turn a powerful into just, you know, niceties. Over how many principles of what and what. So somebody comes and man unleashes some kazungu. I remember one time I was in some church and the guy was like, he came out and, you know, this was, I know when you pull this revelation, people would even lift their chairs. So the guy comes and says, if you can, then everybody is as attentive as you guys are. If you can come out of the crowd and go to the cloud without being proud, then the guys are like, yeah! But I'm telling you, man, it was amazing. Like, I was so... Man, that was nice. Huh? Like, you really see guys who have turned the truth into fables. Man. Then the guys, by the time you added the proud guys, were like, yeah! Great. By the way, we enjoyed the gospel those days. Huh? Forget about this correction, instruction. This is now hard things. Those days, things were nice. Man, praise the Lord. So now that is the westernized gospel, the gospel of the West, where you cannot infringe on you people. You can't tell people bad things, they will go. Okay, they will leave the church. So if you want to be a pastor of a big church, tell them good what? Good things. Okay, yeah. So you tell people off and they go. Turned the truth into fables. And now you cannot even stand up. You have to. You don't even have the guts to do it. But you criticize somebody. You see, when a believer who got born again in 2011, like that guy, has more spine than a pastor who has been on the pulpit for 35 years, then you know the church is fallen. Because an ordinary believer who is an athlete, he just comes to church, he believes the words of the Bible more than a pastor. Then you know the church is what? It's fallen. That's a fallen church. That's the sign of a fallen church. And now let me tell you, there's going to be a civil war. Actually, it was prophesied by somebody. A civil war between that church and the church which has spine, the church of Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, who stand up and say, no, we are going to frustrate the word of the king. We are not going to be railed in. And I've told you, the people whom I started with fighting this religious policy, they have been called. And I'm like, okay, it's sad, but there will be a civil war. So if you see me coming up and hammering pastors, don't think that I've lost it. This is the word of the Lord. Because the only way the church is going to be revived is when the true one does not... Because it is that thing of when you're united together with a dead church, an apostate church, the seventh church of Revelation. Let's read that and we jump to the seventh church of Revelation. Revelation 3. Go to verse 14. Yes, that's the Laodiceans. This thing says the Amen and the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich. Now that's it. So you get a message of prosperity, which is skewed, of course, for us. We are prosperous people, but also, you know, you say, I'm rich, I have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That is the last church. You know, you say, I've taught you these churches are in chronology. Now, this is the last church. The church which thinks, man, you know, there's all these powerful things happening, mega churches, you know, all. So they are singing powerful worship songs and so on. Not powerful, but worship songs. And the spirit departed you completely. Now, I'm telling you the truth. To listen to these modern hill songs, get me a secular artist, and at least I will dance. Like, I hate something which has a semblance of gospel, yet it is dry. I'm telling you the truth. I would rather listen to my oldies of those days, when I was still hot. And you know what? Yeah, and like shake my bones. It's the truth. Rather than listen to these guys, they are dead. It is dead, dead, dead. Dead. Like, here the words are good, but there is no spirit coming out of it. Absolutely no spirit. You like, it dries even the carito. The other one excites your soul. You see, because at least for you, you know how to compartmentalize it. You understand? You know, this was what I used to listen to those days. And then we'd dance and what? So at least you know where to put it. But this one, you're trying to receive it in a certain place and it doesn't fit there. You understand? So you say, and that's the truth. Now, this dead church, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire. Now, this is the fire. There is nothing of substance that is going to come out unless it's refined in fire. If those people stood up and said, even these people who have been compromised, if they stood up and said, no, we are what? That is the fire. What comes out of that is something refined. Then now you get to a point where you fear nobody, you fear nothing. You actually are a true servant of God. You don't want to be popular. Now, I learned that long time ago that I did not enter a popularity contest, so I don't want to be popular. But then I will be. Remember what I told you, irresistible words. When God says, I will give you words which your enemies cannot resist. But you see, you don't get it by looking for it. You get it by saying, I don't want it. And that is the, you know, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses it for my sake will actually get it. Now that is the irony of life. When you want something so badly, you know, if I say this, these people will be offended. Let me tell you, you've totally lost it. They will be offended even if you say nothing. They will be offended by the way you dress, by the way you what. But if you are like me and you don't care offending people, then people will get used to the fact that you are an offender. Oh my God, I love this. I love this game. By the way, man, like I was enjoying the Catholics when the Pope kissed, but I had a nice time. Just know I had a very, very nice time. Like, because what camera angles, what? And man, two guys are kissing. And you're telling me camera angles. Me, I don't want to know. But anyway, let's not offend people. Okay. I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich. Remember, he says you say you're rich. But now he says you may be actually rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. So anoint your eyes that you may what? That you may be able to see. Because they don't see. They don't, like, he can't see. Now imagine somebody saying, who bewitched you, to a person who quoted the scripture. Oh, Galatians, who bewitched you? Okay, by the way, that thing really messed me up. It really did, because I think we've gotten to that time when they pile up for themselves preachers who speak nice things. Nice things. Do you know now they have already started, like, there's no hell. There's no hell. It's a very popular thing now going around, even in Christian churches, that there is no hell, you know. God is too loving to send people to hell. Stop serious pastors saying it. No, there is no hell. God is so loving. He's not going to send anybody to hell. Well, okay, that's true, but the people will send themselves to hell by refusing the salvation of God, which he has made so simple for each and every one of us. Praise the Lord. Now, you see, they are telling people, they cannot come out. I mean, you cannot come out and defend the Bible. What do you have to say about people who think there is only one way to heaven? Man, one way to God. They asked that to T.D. Jakes. Then he said, oh, they are naive. T.D. Jakes. There was a time I actually wanted to be like him. I mean, honest. Praise the Lord. Like, I wish they get me one day on those shows. I know they first interview before to make sure that when you get there, you don't embarrass them. So when they interview me, I said, no. Like, you know, somebody wants to go to what? What? Then when you get there, now the cameras are rolling. You say, all you homosexuals, watch, read my lips. Hell. And there is not many ways. There is only one way. And that way is not a religion. It's a person. His name is Jesus Christ. Oh, we go for a break. I say, okay, I'm not coming back. I've already said what I wanted to say. So you mess them up on their own platforms. Because, of course, they don't let you there until they first coached you. So when they are coaching me, I'll say, yeah, it's all good. You get there. And anyway, I've finished preaching. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. There's somebody who is having demonic oppression at night. Like dreams which are of a demonic nature. And just are not good at all. And an attack, like some kind of you if you're that, actually I think it's more than one person, recurring of come forward quickly. If nobody comes, we move on to the next thing. Now we have to. There's one lady I know, whether she's here or not, but actually there's one called Charity. Is there a Charity here? Is anyone called Charity here? You come here. There's another one who is just feeling sweet, but you actually need what you need this. And if you don't hurry up, I will tell the details of what the dreams actually are. When I'll wait for you to come, then I'll reveal. Because if I reveal before, you'll not come. But anyway, if you don't want to come. In the name of Jesus, I break. I declare that they shall not come back again.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, and you're set free.
Amen.
And you also. You speak English. You're under demonic oppression. And is it your first time here?
No, I've been coming here like from January.
Like from January? But, and it's from your, like, home,
But I had it sometime when I was in school, it used to disturb me. Not until we went to the pastor, and he told us it was from our home.
From your where?
From home. Like my stepmom.
Okay.
So, from there, every time we be, like, worshipping, I feel things on my body and my head, especially my head.
Are you from the east? Where are you from?
North.
North,
Yeah.
What's your name?
Crispus.
Or the other name?
Mungu Jakisa.
Mungu
Jakisa.
Okay. Did you finish school?
No.
Where did you stop?
Five.
Okay. And financial things, and also it affected your.
I was admitted in the hospital. So like the whole of last year, I didn't go to school because of that. I had some mental illness.
And you have a sibling who
had the same issue.
Yes.
Yeah,
something
a,
similar.
He's a doctor.
Okay. Now, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you're covered, and it shall not affect you again. And even that woman who was stopping your father from paying for you, as if, like, you know, trying to make it very difficult. Now, in the name of Jesus, the provision of God, and you will go back to school, and you'll excel, and you'll complete. because now you're covered. And now those attacks shall come back no more in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And even that thing you feel in the night shall come back no more. In Jesus' name. It affects Eucharist coming. Okay. In the name of Jesus. That will not happen again. In Jesus' name. Because everything that the enemy has done in your body has been reversed right now. In Jesus' name. And before that actually you were like a sharp guy in class. Now that returns in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay. Oh. Now anybody who has been receiving, anybody who is under, who is listening right now, even not here, dreams of a sexual nature that, and it's almost as if you have been given to somebody in the spirit, and they have seasons at a time of the year, a certain time of the year, it looks like it's very intensified, extremely intensified, then at other times you seem to be free, but then you always know that it will come at a certain time of the year. Now in the name of Jesus, I cover you, anybody, that person, I cover you in the name of Jesus, and I decree that they shall come back no more in Jesus' name. They shall come back no more in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And there's also a guy. There's also a guy. And it also has something to do with some hereditary thing, something you're supposed to inherit. Some demonic enterprise. You're supposed to enterprise, meaning like from his father that you're supposed to inherit. Then he kind of left and came into church. Now in the name of Jesus, and there is a strong pull for him to go back, and that person is from that side of Soroti, and like it has made everything he does here outside of that thing, everything he does has failed completely, complete failure in everything he does. Now in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because he's rescued. He is rescued in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you. I see an issue with like serious indigestion. Indigestion. Which is bad actually, really bad. And in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that condition in Jesus' name. And I feel something like here on the, like something, a clot here. Huh? What's your name? What's the issue?
I have stomachaceous complications in the arthritis.
Do you have
pain
here? Okay. And it's like hardish, like okay. Now in the name of Jesus, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. And now your story shall be different. And the foods that they have told you to not eat, lot of them, now you're going to try it out. You've been told not to eat the like flour, like like things like that, and so many other things. Okay, in the name of Jesus, it's true, you've been told not to eat that. Okay, so in the name of Jesus, now that indigestion is no longer, and you're healed from that condition in the name of Jesus, and even you feel there will be a smooth flow your digestive system in the name of Jesus. And now you'll even try out things you've been told not to eat, because I see like your food choices have been limited, completely limited, Is that true? Sorry?
Only Irish.
That's only Irish. You can only eat Irish. Okay. Now your story is changing. Eh? Now you're going to eat other things too. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You try it out. Eh? And now see that you're healed. Because I speak healing upon your body. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You're healed. Eh?
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It is done. Okay. Now I see somebody also who is struggling to conceive, who is really struggling to conceive, and it's such an issue. Actually it is like you conceive and the pregnancy stops somewhere and then something happens. I think it has happened two times, and now it has caused. If you want, you stand up. If you don't want, it's okay. No, but you come. Because I see that you come forward if you're that person. You speak what you
There's a friend of ours. She's an usher here. She comes here. What Papa mentioned is a clear description of her. She's lost two pregnancies. Like at around 3 months, they all get out. They all get out, and as we speak, she's been sick for about 3 weeks, coming to a month now with fibroids, and she's lost a lot of weight. She's been going through a lot of pain. Eh? She's not able to conceive after the two miscarriages.
Is she married?
Yes, she's married.
But there's another one here who doesn't want to come out because she's not married, and she thinks we'll raise eyebrows. Where are all these pregnancies coming from if you're not married? I know what I'm talking about. But anyway, if she doesn't want to come. But you know Judith. Is she your friend? Okay. Now we are going to pray for her. What's your name?
Fiona.
What's your condition? What's it? Don't laugh.
It's a... I don't know, they call it the blight ovum, something like that. Mm-hmm. Yes, where the placenta, I think, grows without the embryo. Like there is no... Yeah, so you're just basically growing something that is useless.
Yes. And how many have?
Oh, well, to be honest with you, it was just one. Maybe something... it was just one last year. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Let's pray for you. So now, they told you that unless that condition, not have a kid.
No, I haven't conceived again since then. Yes.
But that condition is it temporary or it was a temporary thing for that pregnancy?
Yes, because I the doctor has told me there's less, so you just have to like get rid of it. And ever since then, yeah, I haven't.
Okay, in the name of Jesus, yes. Father, I thank you, because now that happens again, no more. That does not happen again. Happens no more in the name of Jesus, and. That condition, now I rebuke in the name of Jesus, in that demonic force that is, I see as if it's a family thing also. There is, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Okay, I rebuke that demonic force that seeks to cause you not to have a child. Now I decree in the name of Jesus that you will have one when you want one. It will be a perfect pregnancy until come to term, and that shall also be the case for all your siblings in the name of Jesus. None of them shall be held back by this force in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So is it true what I said about you fearing to come? It doesn't matter. God bless you. Praise the Lord. She's, what's that lady called? Okay, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you, because Judith receives her healing today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now I uproot all those fibroids. In Jesus' name, I uproot all those fibroids, and I decree that they all dissolve out. In the name of Jesus. In a matter of weeks, 1, 2, 3, they dissolve out and shall not be an issue again for her. In the name of Jesus. And she even recovers her weight and her original appearance in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for each and every person that connects here today. I thank you, Father, for your blessing. I thank you because you do a wonderful work in their lives. In the name of Jesus, I bless your name, Father, because everyone who connects here this day receives their blessing 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. In the name of Jesus, I thank you because those who are low and despondent because their financial situations seem to be stagnating, even retrogressing, and they had waited in hope, but it wasn't happening. Now it happens in the name of Jesus. Now I release it, I open it for them in Jesus' name, and I decree that it happens for them in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, God bless you. We will go
for you. That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, the King, is coming.